My dear friends, as we begin a new church year and we enter the holy season of Advent, it is good to remind ourselves that at certain times of the year and around certain occasions, our Lord actually wishes for us to be reminded of the great benefits that can come from making a good confession. At certain times of the year, it is true to say that our Lord pours out a superabundance of graces. He sends special helps to penitents as well as to the confessors during certain times of the year. It does not matter what sins one may have committed or how long it has been since one's last confession, even if it's 10, 20, or 30 years. It does not matter whether or not one has made good confessions in the past or bad confessions in the past. There is always a chance to start over new, making a good and sincere confession now, telling the sins to the priest humbly, and complying with those graces that our Lord holds out to us. So I just encourage you to remember the good graces and the great benefits that come from making a good confession, and what a wonderful preparation it is too for the upcoming Feast of Christmas that is approaching. You know, when our Lord was appearing to St. Margaret Mary and revealing to her the mysteries of his Sacred Heart and the great love he had for all of us, a certain priest was asked to interview St. Margaret Mary. This priest was Father Claude de Colombier. And Father Claude, who is now Blessed Claude, asked St. Margaret Mary to ask our Lord what was the worst sin he had ever committed. But our Lord responded to St. Margaret Mary, "I do not remember," meaning that when we make a good confession, it is as if our Lord does not even remember the sins of our past. So then, as we begin this liturgical year in Advent, just keep in mind the great graces held out to you by a good confession, made worthily to a true priest. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing that the time that is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth the distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, a few weeks ago, as I was walking to the car after Mass, I heard that there has been quite a discussion recently about the little brown insects that have made themselves very prevalent this autumn in the Catskills. And some of the parishioners have become quite interested in these little creatures, which I think we could say have reminded all of us of the 10 plagues of Egypt. Well, as we have all willingly or unwillingly been brought into close contact with insects this fall, there is a well-known entomologist, that's a studier of insects, who wrote about his life and how he began his study of insects at Harvard University. Sam Scooter was a most successful entomologist. He wrote over 791 articles describing the insects of North America, and he was actually the first North American insect paleontologist. That means he was the first scientist from North America to study the fossils of insects. Well, at the beginning of a fall semester, when he arrived at Harvard, his desire to study entomology brought him in close contact with Professor Luis Agassiz. The professor asked young Samuel many questions about himself until he finally asked what department Shooter would want to be most proficient. So Shooter replied that he was interested in all zoology, but that entomology was what he wanted to excel in. It was then that Professor Agassiz went over to the shelf, pulled down a large jar containing a single fish. The fish was a hemulon. Now, a hemulon is a rather generic-looking fish, but it's integral to certain ecosystems. And it is said that the hemulon is the most important fish of all the groups of fish in the coral reefs off Brazil. The hemulon, though, was placed before Sam, and this one was dead, and it was preserved in an alcohol solution. Professor Agassiz put the fish in front of Sam and said, "Take this fish and look at it, and by I will ask you what you have seen." This completely caught Sam by surprise, especially since fish had seemingly nothing to do with insects or entomology. His dismay grew when, after about 10 minutes of looking at this dead fish, he concluded that he saw all there was to see, and he got up and went to look for the professor. The professor was nowhere to be found. In fact, he had left the building and would not be returning for a few hours. After 2 full hours, alone in a classroom with this dead fish, Sam was about to give up and conclude that the professor obviously did not want him as a student. In utter desperation and not wanting to so quickly say goodbye to Harvard University, Sam decided to pick that fish up. Turning it around and around, all he could tell was that a dead fish is a ghastly creature. Well, Scooter was relieved when lunchtime finally came around, and he had an excuse to leave the fish. But he was again dismayed to find out that when he left for lunch, the professor had returned and now would be away again all afternoon. So Sam decided after lunch to take out a pencil and draw a picture of the fish. This met with the professor's approval, who showed up unlooked for in the middle of the afternoon. "What have you seen?" he asked. Well, Sam told him all that he had seen. "Look again, and this time be more careful. You're missing a very important feature," said the professor. Sam was amazed to realize that until then he had completely overlooked some facts of the fish, such that it was symmetrical and that it had a pair of each organ. Well, this went on, my dear friends, for 3 days. Each time Professor Agassiz questioned Sam, Sam had found something new about this little fish. And each time Professor Agassiz would say, "Look again." Well, Sam, being intelligent and a good student, soon figured out what was going on. 10 minutes into this project, he had been ready to give up and conclude that he knew all there was to know about the hemulon fish. And now, after 3 days of staring, drawing, prodding, and examining, He was still finding new facts about this fish. He relates that after 8 months and after studying many of these same fish, it was only with difficulty that he left what he called his friend the Hamulon and turned his attention to insects. Never, though, would he forget this first lesson from Professor Agassiz, this lesson of persevering in his study of the facts in order to be able to say that he truly knew what he was studying. Now, my dear friends, today is the first of the four Sundays of Advent. And since these four Sundays remind us of the 4,000 years that elapsed from the fall of Adam to the coming of Christ, St. Alphonsus de Liguori encourages us during this week and these upcoming weeks to consider why it is that God allowed 4,000 years to elapse before sending a Redeemer. St. Alphonsus states that God allowed such a time to elapse for a number of reasons, but the two most outstanding were so that men could learn the gravity of even one mortal sin, and also so that men could see the necessity of a Savior. You see, if Adam and Eve had been immediately redeemed, they would not have appreciated this gift, nor would they have realized how evil sin is. But after 4,000 years of praying, beseeching, and longing for a Redeemer, mankind knew very well that it was only the loving mercy of God which could bring a Redeemer into the world. After witnessing great men like Solomon and Isaiah, great warriors like King David, Samson and Joshua, even great miracle workers like Moses and Daniel, mankind of himself was still powerless to open the gates of heaven. No matter how great men were, no matter how willing they proved themselves to do the will of God, the gates of heaven were still fast shut and could only be opened by a divine Redeemer. And in light of these facts, St. Alphonsus tells us that we should be extremely grateful to God that we were not created in that first 4,000 years of probation. St. Alphonsus writes that we should be so grateful because before the coming of Christ, the majority of men were neither strong enough nor courageous enough to await the Messiah, and so they turned to worshiping false gods. He wrote that idolatry reigned everywhere, that devils, beasts, and stones were adored as gods. How grateful we should be then when we realize the gift that has been given to us to be born at this time, as St. Alphonsus says, after the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, and that we have the one true Catholic faith, and are members of the one true Catholic Church. During this time of year, then, during this time of Advent and this time of gift-giving, it's most appropriate for us to consider the gifts that God has given to us. It's during Advent that we can become like Sam Shooter. All of us could take a little bit of time, I'm sure, and name some of the gifts that God has given us, especially the gift of our faith and of His own grace. But let us not stop there. Let us try to consider as well all the other graces and gifts God has given us, spiritually, temporally, and even materially. How blessed we may have been by God. I know for myself, my dear friends, how good God has been to me when I consider out of the billions of people in the world, how many there are out there, far more worthy than myself, that have not been given the gift of the Catholic faith? How many young men are out there, very much far more worthy than myself, who have not been given a vocation to serve Christ in the Church and the Holy Priesthood? or the other countless temporal and spiritual blessings and favors that God has given to me. While we all have different reasons in our lives to be grateful to God, different gifts that maybe He has given to us alone or to our certain group, and as I mentioned, of course, our Catholic faith being the chiefest of all gifts. Over these next few weeks, then, of Advent, let us be mindful of all the gifts God has given us. And let us prepare, then, to give Him the gift of our heart on Christmas Day. We can do this very simply, as St. Paul tells us in the Epistle, by casting off the works of darkness and by putting on the armor of light. By these words, the Apostle simply means that we must rid our lives of sin by turning away from temptation and removing the occasion of sin from our lives. We can do this by practicing the virtues of charity and patience, chastity and purity. And all of these we practice as we ask our Blessed Mother, who kept the very first Advent season. We ask her, who was most blessed by God, to help us realize the blessings we have received. We ask her to obtain as well the grace to prepare our hearts worthily for the birthday of her Son Christ. For nothing delights our good mother more than helping us to love her Son, whom she loves so much. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.